Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, a lot of Lakers fans not so thrilled with Lonnie Walker IV, used up by the Lakers on their taxpayer mid-level exception, the big free agent signing. But is there something maybe they should be more encouraged by? We're going to get a full scouting report of Walker from Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs. That's coming up next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how you get your podcasts or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. Make another Locked On podcast your second. How about Locked On Spurs with our host, Jeff Garcia? You can also find his work. He's the Spurs, I keep saying Lakers, Spurs beat writer at Ken's 5 in San Antonio, kens5.com. So
the Lakers, yeah. Right. Over at Ken's 5 is a very unpopular fellow.
Yeah, nobody likes that guy. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Let's talk about Lonnie.
We've got a couple things we want to get to. Starting with, we want to discuss Lonnie Walker, but there's also this weird twist that's been reported that the Spurs could end up being a third team in the Russell Westbrook Kyrie Irving derby, and in ways that I frankly do not understand. Mm-hmm. So perhaps you can sort that out. But let's start with Walker. I mentioned before, Lakers fans, I would say, Andy, is lukewarm, a generous way of putting their enthusiasm towards Lonnie Walker at this point.
Well, I mean, if they've been taking their cues from us, it's definitely not helping since we were not particularly thrilled with it to begin with. And, you know, since our listeners take our word as the gospel, because they're, you know, why wouldn't they?
Oh, they should. Yes, they should.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would say the reception towards Walker, as you know, that for the Lakers as a team, Jeff, with very few resources, no real cap space, and the taxpayer mid-level as the biggest bullet they had to fire in terms of free agency acquisition, Walker has not been that well received. To begin, I guess, how surprised were you, if at all, that San Antonio seemingly did not make much effort to retain Walker, especially as a team that's clearly now moving in a rebuilding direction?
I was not surprised whatsoever. Even before the offseason began in San Antonio, many were pointing that Walker was on his way out. It was just kind of obvious. The writing was on the wall, especially in what was his final season in San Antonio. Again, not to knock him as a person, he's phenomenal. I'll get into that later. But on the court, just get ready for a roller coaster ride. That's the best way I can say it. If he duplicates what we saw in his time in San Antonio, maybe a change of scenery is good for him. Now he's in Los Angeles, but at least my sample size is San Antonio. And in those years in San Antonio, it was a roller coaster ride. This is how much is a roller coaster ride. It is. Spurs fans were still clinging to this one game he had about in his sophomore season where he scored about 30 something points. And that's how long it's been since he had another out game like that. He's so erratic. He's so up and down. He's very inconsistent. He says all the right things. I got the chance to speak with him, and I bluntly asked him one time, and I told him, I go, you do realize you are very inconsistent. And he owned it. And he owned it. He says, yes, I am. But he can never get out of that. Let's just put it this way. It was to the point where Popovich was looking for any type of way to light a fire in him. So much so that whenever, and again, this is early in his career, and it tailed off towards the end of his time in San Antonio, but he was looking for anything to spark Lonnie, that he would call him out publicly, even after a good game. They would ask Popovich, hey, Lonnie did this, and yay, Lonnie, way to go. Clap, clap, clap. Way to go, Lonnie. And then Bob would come out and say, no, he had no competitive spirit. I mean, it was you were just trying to get him going. Now, look, to his credit, he did get better last season, but it was kind of like too little too late already. Mm-hmm. When he got the minutes he produced, and that's where I say, because when the Spurs traded away Derek White, his numbers did spike. He got more playing time. He was the focal guy off the bench, and the numbers proved it. But even within that sample size in his end of his career in San Antonio, it was still erratic. Maybe not as bad, but it was still erratic. I remember when DeMar DeRozan was out for three games, and it was last season in San Antonio for him. And Lonnie came in, stepped in, and admirably, way to go. He had like a string of 20 point games plus. Great, perfect. And then DeMar's still out. Then it started to decrease, decline, started to fall. Then DeMar comes in, and then he's back being subpar. Athletic freak. I think he's going to mesh well if you guys run. If it's just run, then perfect. Maybe Lonnie will pan out for you guys. But the best I can say, just get ready for a roller coaster ride, Laker fans. You're gonna come on Locked On Lakers one day and say, like, didn't Lonnie just drop 20-something points? And how come he scored six points in three games straight? You're gonna have those shows coming soon.
It's so funny, Jeff, because you mentioned it's like I play in the most hyper competitive fantasy basketball league you can find. It's nothing but basketball media and like people who work for organizations. It is insane. Like nobody lasts on the waiver wire to keeper league in this. And for like 3 years, Walker has been a guy that you pick up really quick, and then like 3 days later, like, why is this guy on my team? I cannot have him on my team. And so you hear that inconsistency. Obviously, fantasy basketball is not real life. Yes. Yes. A huge mistake. You talked, because we'll dwell on the negatives here for a little bit, and then we'll turn it around before we let you go and look at some of the positives. He spoke, because you talked about Lonnie saying the right stuff and you know, being well-meaning. Talked about defense, talked about being a lockdown guy, talking about doing all of those things at his introductory press conference last week with the team. But the metrics just don't bear it out. Like every measurement, he was a bad defender. No matter the assignment that he was given in San Antonio, whether as a primary defender, a secondary, whatever it is. So what was the problem, and do you think he is capable of fixing it? Because it's not like this. I like the player development guys that the Lakers have with Darvin Ham and the new staff, but it's not like San Antonio doesn't have really good player development. And
they have recently well-developed guards. Murray and Derek White.
It's a teaching organization. So defensively, before we even get to the shooting and other stuff, what was the problem with him defensively?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up too, about that whole, you know, project school San Antonio with guards. Because think about it. If DeJounte graduated with flying colors and Derek White graduated flying colors, what happened to Lonnie?
DeMar DeRozan, I think, even DeMar DeRozan defensively.
Yeah. But it's for Lonnie. Now, again, I don't want to come on Locked On Lakers and just bash the guy, you know, to bits, but it is what it is. You know, you're right. The metrics show it, the eye test show it. I think what happened was it gets in between his head. I think that's all it is. I think it's just between his ears. It's like the body is willing. He's a freak of nature. He's this athletic beast. But it's just up in here. And for some reason, I remember when DeJounte Murray even came out years ago and saying that sometimes he needs a lot of fire under Lonnie. I think he needs a swift kick in the butt sometimes. And I think somebody on that Lakers team is going to have to ignite him and really get him going. Now, defensively, I mean, it's baffling. It is baffling because you're playing alongside two pretty good defenders, at least for a while in his career, Derek White and DeJounte Murray. And he couldn't pick anything up. Part of me thinks, too, that maybe he was just overshadowed. Maybe he was just living in the shadow of DeJounte and Derek.
It's interesting, Jeff, not to interrupt you, but when you've mentioned a few times, you know, it being in between his ears, and you've also talked about, you know, needing a fire lit under him. Did you get a sense watching him that it was more about, you know, either a lack of focus or priorities defensively, or that he wasn't picking up schemes regardless of the effort?
Right. I think he wasn't picking up schemes sometimes. Again, he's well-meaning. That's the thing. Like, that's why you love the kid. Like, he wants to do well. He wants to get out there and show out. And I hope he will. But you guys just are free cracking me up. I got to do that more often in Locked On Spurs. Like, I got to spice that.
We got to give the YouTube specific audience something to look at.
But no, I think it's a combination of so many things. And when he's on, my goodness, you're going to have shows too, thinking like, woohoo, they got a steal. What was San Antonio thinking? But I also think you're going to have more often than not shows like, what were the Lakers thinking? You know, why did you go spend that money? I think he is your biggest splash this offseason. It's him. He is the biggest catch. And yeah, I think that's going to add more fuel to, I guess, his hot seat, if you will, because he's going to be under a microscope. I think he's going to probably come off that bench, and he plays well off a bench. You know, I think if you put him in the starting role, I know he said I can start. Everybody wants to start, but the metrics show, at least in San Antonio, that he was a better coming off the bench in a second unit. But yeah, I expect a little the same old Lonnie. I'm not going to be surprised when I tune into Locked On Lakers next season to hear you guys crying and moaning about it. I'm not going to be surprised.
Well, you had us, Jeff, at you tuning into Locked On Lakers.
Right. As long as you click on it, then click on it again.
Yeah.
And again.
You want these Lonnie Walker updates, Jeff. You're not going to feel whole and complete.
You and your entire legion of listeners. Well, you guys want to know what's happening.
But here's the thing, too. You know, the moment Lonnie left, I got hate on my Twitter timeline because I was still talking about him. This is how much Spurs fans didn't want him in his uniform anymore. They're like, why are you still talking about him?
All our way, Jeff. It's like, we can handle it.
Right. There's two of us, Jeff. We can totally handle it. Right. You don't have to like the players we're talking about. You can hate them. The download still counts. Let's turn our attention a little bit to the offense, which is, you know, and some of the things that he does well. Before we let you go, we definitely want to ask you about this Westbrook stuff too. So we'll do all that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline, BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball, boxing, MMA, NFL futures, and much, much more. Never too early, by the way, to start betting on the NBA MVP for 2023. Luka Doncic is currently the clubhouse leader at +425. LeBron, 8th ranked at 20-1. Anthony Davis, 50-1. And Russell Westbrook coming in at 150-1. So
that's going
to
be.
All you fools out there looking to trade this guy, you're going to seem so stupid at the end of the season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoff esports and more. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Okay. While we are listing the things about Lonnie Walker that we don't like, and again, I you're right. It's like he did sound like a kid that you really want to do well.
You do.
Based on, you know, on his press conference. But I will say this, the other thing he talked about was shooting. And he was asked about, you know, hey, they don't seem to be going in very often, particularly as the volume goes up. The last couple seasons, the efficiency from 3-point range has really tanked. Earlier in his career on lower volume, pretty good. As it went higher, as the volume increases, the percentages go down. And even on wide open threes, he is a subpar NBA 3-point shooter. But what he said was, you know, leave me open and we'll find out. Like, he's got the confidence there.
Yeah. He's confident. Yeah.
Is the shooting something that you think can come around? Yeah. Is there something about that the Lakers can do, places they can put him, ways they can use him to maximize the efficiency there? Because the Lakers have no shooting. They need 3-and-D guys. I think they're hoping that he's both, and he's really been neither. Just one of the reasons we didn't really like the signing.
I think the shooting will come along. We forget he's still a kid. He's still a kid. What is he, like 22? He's
23, I think.
23. Thank you. He's still a kid. I think his game will come along. Maybe he's just a late bloomer on the offensive end. But there weren't times last year during games where he was taking threes, I was screaming at the TV or at the games on press row going, Lonnie, what are you doing? You know, I mean, I was okay with him taking shots. I wanted him to take shots. I think, keep on shooting. You're going to get out of the slump, or keep on shooting because you're in a good rhythm. I mean, that's where you're going to fall when you're watching Lonnie, because you want him to do well. You know, he has all the physical tools offensively to do it. I mentioned we saw him put together a string of 20 plus games. We saw the inconsistency become less consistent, you know, in a good way. He became more consistent towards the end of second half of last year. He became an actual good player off the bench. again in the second half of the season. If he had stayed around, I think I would have said, okay, Lonnie, you did good to end the second year, your last year, 21-22. Let's see how you do now for 22-23. Can you sustain that? So maybe you're getting Lonnie where he's already starting his peak already, where he's starting to come around the corner. Hopefully, you know, he'll build off that second half for the Lakers. He'll have a fresh start in Los Angeles. The player development crew you got out there will help him. I think playing with superstars is really going to help him. Not knocking DeJounte or Derek or Keldon Johnson, but they're not LeBron. They're not AD. Right. You know,
and just to your point, so people are aware, he shot 29% from mm-hmm. 3-point range before the All-Star break, and in 16 games after that was up to 37.
Yeah, exactly. So it's trending the right way. You just hope it continues trending that way. He definitely can attack the rim. There's no doubt about that. He's a freight train. He's going to give you some highlight worthy dunks. You're going to be cheering and clapping for that. You could be probably chanting Lonnie for the slam dunk contest. I'm pretty sure you'll love to see that. I mean, he's going to give you some excitement. And he's going to give you games where he's offensively looking like making San Antonio look stupid for letting him go. But if history is a teacher, then historically Lonnie's going to give you more head scratcher games than yay off the seat cheering for him games.
One last question about him offensively before we get to this Westbrook thing. You mentioned that he can thrive in transition, which is good mm-hmm. for the Lakers because they are looking to run. They've been talking mm-hmm. about that a lot. And if you look at Lonnie Walker on YouTube, you can find plenty of highlights of him attacking the basket. Are mm-hmm. there other areas of his game offensively that you think either are coming around in a positive way or actually mm-hmm. are strengths of him beyond just scoring?
Sure. We were talking about already the three-point shot. The three-point shot was trending in the right direction, so that's something to look forward to next season. He started taking a little bit more dribble pull-ups a little bit towards the end of the season. He started bringing that out of his bag. Hopefully he'll continue doing that as well. One thing I would like for him to do is just become more of a facilitator. I think he has the ability to do that because he can attack the rim and he does collapse defenses. That gravity metric, you know, he does suck it in, you know, and I would love to see him kick out more. I also think too, that what took away from him was because DeJounte was kind of ball dominant in San Antonio. Everything ran through him because he was the Spurs' best player. Now with a LeBron now side and an AD at his side, and who knows what's going to happen with Russ. So we'll just say for arguments that he stays. Maybe that will just have more space for him to either get up better looking shots or attack the rim. I'm hoping that'll do that. I want him to do well. I want, even though he's wearing a Lakers uniform, I get it. Those Spurs Laker rivalry, but I want him to do well. I've been cheering for him since day one because off the court, he is phenomenal. I got to know him personally off mm-hmm. the court when we're not talking about X's and O's. He became an athlete investor in San Antonio tech companies. He was part of the cleanup of downtown San Antonio when it got hit with those BLM, you know, the riots that broke out during the whole George Floyd incident. Even to the bitter end, he was just showing up to high schools in San Antonio and putting on impromptu speeches for kids to stay in school. So he's a great guy. He went on vacation with his then girlfriend, now fiance, in Costa Rica and took time out of that to feed an entire village. I mean, that's the kind of guy that he is. As a matter of fact, he might be coming on Lockdown Spurs to kind of give his farewell to San Antonio soon. So we're just trying
when that happens, we'll make sure to promote it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just trying to like tie up loose ends, but yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you bring that up because there is so much about, like, we do tend to boil these guys down to, and you know, mm-hmm. there are other aspects of Walker's story that are remarkable and worth reading about. But we do tend to boil these guys down to their 3-point percentages and their efficiency and all this other stuff. And we can forget that they can be quote unquote busts or failures mm-hmm. as NBA players and still phenomenal human beings, which is more
Brian important. And my experience covering Kwame Brown years ago. His time with the Lakers was erratic, as everybody knows. He was a great guy. I mean, we really enjoyed covering him, like as a person. Mm-hmm. So
bef- bef- before we let you go, the Spurs have become a strange addendum to this whole Kyrie and Westbrook thing, where people have, I guess, noticed that the Spurs have enough cap space they can be a third team to help facilitate, not enough to take on Westbrook completely by themselves. Some salary would have to go from San Antonio to somewhere else to make this work. How live do you think this really is as a prospect? Because while San Antonio could take on Westbrook, you would think they would want something for it, probably one of the Lakers draft picks or someone's draft picks to make this happen. The Lakers only have two to give away. Is there stuff that you enough stuff that could come, do you think, to San Antonio that the Spurs would say, sure, we'll do this,
or players the Lakers could take?
Or is there a way that you think that this could be facilitated where the Lakers could give something to San Antonio, but still have enough to give to Brooklyn to get to Kyrie?
It's so complicated. And this thing is just so like ins and outs and folds everywhere, but okay, fine. Okay. I'll start from the top. Financially. Yes. Spurs can do it, but do they want to do that? They're having a fire sale right now. That's what it looks like, you know, and it started before the offseason, you know, when they got rid of Bryn Forbes and Derek White, Thad Young, Drew Eubanks. You know, if they keep on stripping it down, I mean, what's going to be left? Because I'm pretty sure Westbrook's not going to want to stay in San Antonio.
Oh, no, he would never play. He would never play. A rebuilding team trying to create culture is not going, he's not going to play a minute.
Right. He's not going to play a minute. So, sure, Spurs, you get a draft pick, but like you said, you know, I mean, yeah, something's got to give. Spurs got to give something up. I know they value that the cushion of money they're sitting on right now. You know, I think they got eyes not on next season's free agency crop. I think that's where they're looking at. I just don't see it. I just cannot see the Spurs dumping more play. I mean,
are there any long-term contracts that they could give back that, you know, cause like, you know, they have guys that are on Keldon the books.
Keldon and Devin are the closest.
Right. But there's no, you know, like
Doug McDermott
I guess would be the name there. The Lakers Yaco would probably Kirtle. Have to eat that contract.
Yeah.
Cause that would open up about 13 more million next year for San Antonio.
Yeah.
Is he really kind of one of the only names that you guys have that could satisfy that? Because I just there isn't much there. You're not going to give up Keldon Johnson.
No,
you're not going to give up. And Josh Richardson expires after this year, correct? I believe.
Yeah. Yes.
So
does Jakob Poeltl. He's expiring after this year.
But you wouldn't give up Poeltl. He's too good to give up.
I don't know. I mean, he's been on the trade table since last year's trade deadline,
and he's not on San Antonio's timeline either.
Right. No, but he's good, and so you wouldn't want to dump him in a trade like that. Like all I'm saying, like Westbrook, you either get a pick or you get off of a contract that you don't like. Mm-hmm. That's and the only incentive I could possibly see for San Antonio. But we just both of us, Andy and I, were talking about this going into the weekend, and I couldn't see anything that really made this super viable. Mm-mm. But I thought maybe I was missing something.
Well, what about Indiana? Indiana maybe can get involved. I mean, Indiana might have pieces.
In theory, Jeff, do you think San Antonio could be interested in Talen Horton-Tucker as incentive as opposed to a draft pick?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think that, I mean, Brian Wright, the new Spurs GM, came out ahead of the draft, said like, you know, the Spurs are finally getting on, you know, on the same bus as everybody else's, and that is positionless basketball. Spurs were still clinging to the whole traditional ways of things. So sure, why not? I mean, but they just signed Isaiah Roby.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They just picked up
THT positionless in the sense that I don't think anybody can figure out what his position is as opposed to being that fluid.
Right. But so I want to see how this goes down, because I would not want the Spurs to sacrifice so much money and, you know, for little return. And not to say a draft pick is not valuable, but
right. And you know, they'd be done with Westbrook this year, but if Brooklyn is going to insist on stuff, and at least right now they are, and you know, San Antonio would want something, I just wouldn't see the avenue short of something like take the extra year of Doug McDermott off of our hands. Right. And maybe that would do it. Or you throw in a player like THT that gets involved, or both. But All right, Jeff Garcia, he's the host of Locked On Spurs, which obviously you can catch on the network 5 days a week. Make that your second listen of every day. Not your first, but your second. Us, we're still your first. But you also catch his work. He's the beat writer at Kens5, K-E-N-S-5.com over in San Antonio. You can get your stuff there. Thanks so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate the insight. This is great.
Anytime, guys. Talk to y'all later.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Doer, the new sponsors of the Locked On Lakers podcast, just this show, and they are the purveyors of the world's most comfortable pants. Doer is clothing created with the belief that comfort, style, and function all exist to complement each other in design. A single pair of Doer pants can take you from the bike lane to the boardroom to dinner with friends. It's versatility that you get with Doer. There's no more need to lug around changes of clothes, struggling with garment bags or duffels, like changing clothes in the bathroom stall like a complete dork at work. You don't want to be that guy. And great bonus, Doer is created using 95% natural fibers, unlike conventional performance clothing that primarily uses oil-based synthetics. So your clothing with Doer is actually good for the planet, which needs all the help it can get. You can do your part while still looking and feeling great. So drop by the store in LA, 170 South La Brea Avenue. It's in Mid-City. Check out this stuff in person. Feel it. It is incredibly comfortable. Or if you can't get there, just order online at shopdoer.com. Either way, use the exclusive code for our listeners. Again, our listeners. Be a part of this club. Get 15% off using LOCKEDON15. Again, LOCKEDON15. 15% off at Doer, D-U-E-R, shopdoer.com.
Okay, thanks again to Jeff for making the time. All right, do you feel better or worse, Andy, about Lonnie? I feel better about Lonnie Walker, the person. Like, I love that of all, like, he took time out of his vacation to save a village. Like, this is a good person.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
I want him to do well.
Here's the problem. I had only heard good things about Lonnie Walker, the person. Like, you alluded to it before. His personal story is pretty incredible for people unaware. He let it be known a few years into his career that he had suffered sexual abuse as a child and, you know, eventually reached a place where he could try to move past it and be open about this. And, you know, that in and of itself is a pretty harrowing thing to experience and pretty courageous to move forward from it and actually talk about it and, you know, combined with the other stuff. I mean, you've never heard anything bad about him, you know, in terms of the locker room or difficult to deal with. So Jeff reinforced what I felt good about anyway. However, they're not
Stephen
bringing
A would
him in.
Say.
However, well, they're not bringing in Lonnie Walker, I don't think, specifically as a culture guy, even if they are confident that he will be good with their culture. Like, he is being brought in to have a very real impact on the court, and beyond the erratic nature of his play, which is something we've talked about before leading up to this, there was also the redundancy with him in terms of who the Lakers had on their roster already and the needs that they had that were most pressing, which neither one of us think Lonnie Walker particularly fills.
Yeah. I don't feel any better about it. Like, it just, it's not just his presence. It's the speed with which they use that exception. It's the position they used it on. If they had Walker on a minimum, I think they'd be great. But you know, nobody would have gotten upset if Lonnie Walker signed somewhere else in that, you know, in the Lakers gave it an extra day, whether it's to push on Otto Porter, whether it was to push on Bruce Brown or any of these other guys that were higher on the list of needs and are just frankly better players, more well-rounded players. Nobody was going to notice if Lonnie Walker got away. And it's not that he's necessarily a player without potential. He's 23 years old. He was a lottery pick, I think, or fringe lottery pick, if nothing else.
He's just outside.
That happens for a reason. Just outside the lottery. That happens for a reason. You know, he is not talentless, but you know, the warning signs, particularly defensively, I'd almost would have preferred to hear that he just has never been all that invested in it. And then now being put in a position where, look, man, your career is kind of on the line here. He will invest more of himself and do a better job. That Jeff talked a lot about how he was willing and just kind of struggled with concepts, struggled with the frameworks and all these other things. NBA defense is extraordinarily difficult. I don't, you know, certain guys are kind of savants on that side of the ball and have a really good feel for it and other things. And certain guys just don't. And if you are a 2/10 of a second behind what's happening on the court around you, you might as well be 5 seconds late. It is that difficult and the margin for error is that small. So if he struggles with it, like Malik Monk just struggled with certain things, no matter how hard he tried on that side of the ball. It makes me worried because, you know, they signed him in part because of the athleticism and the potential for him to be a stopper on the wing.
Well, I mean, I guess you could take sort of a glass half full comfort from the idea of Jeff saying that, yeah, there were struggles with concepts and stuff like that, but also there was that continual, I guess, mystery in terms of how do you consistently keep him focused and seemingly engaged, outwardly motivated and stuff like that. You know, Jeff used that phrase, light a fire under Lonnie Walker, coming from Pop, coming from DeJounte Murray, coming from other guys. So maybe if LeBron or Darvin Ham or Anthony Davis or Juan Toscano Anderson, if there's
how about this? Just the context of his career, Andy, you're on a 1-year deal, you know, all that
there could be that in terms of a different context, lighting more of a consistent fire under him, maybe even to study concepts more, ask questions more, things like that. The other thing, though, that was positive for the Lakers specifically with Walker is they are looking to run, and he seems like a guy that will really thrive in transition. I mean, like if I've gone down a little bit of YouTube rabbit holes with him, and you watch this guy attack, he's a monster, man. Like, I mean, he really can get.
Oh yeah. No, he's at the rim, getting into the paint and getting to the rim, finishing there. He's, you know, there's tons of potential there. And I think that's really what jumped out. It had to be what jumped out for the Lakers. But I just wonder.
Stakes are high. I mean, it's weird to say this about a relatively inexpensive NBA contract, but for the Lakers specific situation, the stakes are fairly high with Lonnie Walker IV. They need this to work.
Yeah.
You know, in part because it was the biggest bullet they had to fire, but also just they need to dramatically improve from last season. And as usual for this team, a lot of moving pieces, a lot of new faces that everybody has to gel really quickly.
Okay. So plenty to look forward to. Again, thanks to Jeff Garcia. Go check out Locked On Spurs. Reminder to make Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get the podcast a little bit early. Generally pops up a few hours before the audio product, plus fun things to look at. Makes it a little different than just listening. And we will see everybody tomorrow.